B-Pod Studios.
To me, the whole thing with the finger under between the legs, antiquated.
Archaic.
Oh, it is.
I mean, the whole thing is freaking silly.
Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And hour number three, Felger Mass, brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook on 98.5 The Sports Hub and the simulcast, where we beam across New England and the country from our Tom Fritter studios here in Waltham. I thought Andrew Callahan in the Herald did a good job talking about that last possession of the Patriots in overtime and how Matt Patricia is still an issue. I know Greg Bedard agrees with Patricia and the play calling. Greg said Patricia is still an issue. Greg said, in fact, that not only was it not a masterful game plan and masterful management of Bailey Zappe by Patricia and Belichick, Zappe actually helped Patricia out by dumbing the thing down. He said specifically that having Zappe forced Patricia to call very simple plays, it wasn't him being a genius. It saved him from himself. And back page of the Herald, back when this used to matter. Callahan. Packers pounced on predictable Patricia play calls. Sussed out. Good alliteration, as a tabloid should do.
It's perfect.
God, the paper's so teeny now.
It is.
It really is, though.
Little baby dinosaur.
It's like a shopper.
Anyway, headline, how Patricia guided and undercut the upset bid at the Green Bay Packers. Callahan says that situation, okay, that the offense collapsed at Green Bay's 46-yard line with 7:40 left in overtime when Pat's running back Damian Harris was stuffed for no gain. Packers outside linebacker Preston Smith had knifed inside of left tackle Trent Brown despite being responsible for controlling the outside edge. So Smith gambled. He guessed or they called a play. He says Smith's dip was a gamble that he knew was coming on this 2nd and 5 play, and he was right. He said Patricia had dialed up his 9th weak side run of the game behind Trent Brown, the Patriots' left tackle, and the Patriots' bread-and-butter play through 4 weeks. In Green Bay, most of these runs, again, weak side run behind left tackle Trent Brown, bread-and-butter play through 4 weeks. In Green Bay, most of these runs were zone-blocked. The same scheme that killed the clock at Pittsburgh and clinched the team's only win so far this year. During the second half in Green Bay, Patricia called consecutive weak side zone runs left to finish the Pats' final touchdown drive. He returned to the same weak side well to give the offense breathing room when it was backed up against the goal line near the 2-minute warning. So naturally, 15 yards away from putting Nick Folk into game-winning field goal range, Patricia called it again. Except, while effective in critical areas, the play only averaged 4.2 yards per carry, and as time wore on, became predictable. Patricia also proceeded this run with a strong side handoff right, the same way he had set up 3 other weak side runs. Callahan writes, if Green Bay did not expect a weak side run in this situation, then it deserved to lose. But the Packers knew exactly what to call on 3rd and 5 against a fourth-round rookie who hadn't completed a pass all night under pressure, and that was an all-out blitz. That was 3rd down. But on 2nd down, they called a play, and Preston Smith snuffed it out because they'd been seeing it all game. It was predictable. And to me, Maz, just in real time watching the game, that's how it felt to me without the breakdown of knowing how many times they ran right, how many times they ran left, in what situation, without doing all that work that Callahan did. It just felt to me like the way they handled that drive, the way they handled any other drive in the middle of the second quarter. It's like, this is so predictable. You know, all you need is why are you still doing this? Like you're bleeding clock or managing a quarterback. Well, it turns out that I was onto something because it was the same play call and the same sequence of play calls they've been running all day. And Green Bay finally woke up and realized it and snuffed it out. So your thoughts.
Okay, so if you think about it, like in layman's terms, Marcus Cannon went on the right side. With Isaiah Wynn, they loaded up that side. They set it up by handing off, running over there, and then going back the other side on Trent Brown. And eventually the defensive end figured it out and said, oh, here it comes again. Undercut Brown and went in and blew the play up.
Bingo.
So I would say this is what, you know, when you are inexperienced, you go back to the well. That's what you do, except that you know what? The well is shallow. That's what the issue is there isn't all that much to pull out of the well when you're inexperienced.
It's not just that. It's in the NFL, even the dumb teams, and I think the Packers are a dumb team. They're not particularly well coached on defense. Even the bad teams are going to figure out your trends. So you have to adjust. You have to have, you know, you have to have something ready for their adjustment, because if you keep running the same thing, this isn't college. You know, these teams are going to finally figure out what you're doing and stop it. And then you have to have something ready for that. And Patricia isn't ready for that next thing, you know? And I think, boy, to get outsmarted by the Green Bay defensive coaching staff, that's not good.
And it might not have even been the coaching staff. It might have just been Preston Smith.
He's been around a long time. He's seen
a lot
of this stuff. I felt both he, though, and the lineman next to him did the same thing. They both slanted the opposite way.
So you mean that someone alerted them?
They might have been. That might have been a line call, a slant on the defensive line, because both guys did the same thing. It felt a little coordinated. But either way, whether it's the Packers' dumb defensive coaches or Preston Smith and savvy, you know, veteran defensive players, if you as a play caller, you've got to be on to the next thing, you know. And Patricia's not at that stage yet. And so this is still sort of costing you, even though clearly he's getting better, they're getting better, it's going in a good direction, it's going in the right direction, you're still a million miles from these little things that matter in close games, and it's costing you.
If they had any balls in that play, they call play action.
Hell yes.
Right? You fake the hand, you make them think you're doing it again, and then you pull the ball back, and you can even bootleg Zappy, for crying out loud, and drag Hunter Henry across or whatever. Like, there would have been a million options there to pick up 5 yards and get yourself a first down. So, look, I don't doubt any of that for a second. I mean, I think that – now, I will say, I just told you this off the air. I do like them running left. That doesn't mean you can do it 9 times.
No, because Trent Brown has woken up.
He's a house. He is a freaking house. He's huge. And some of the holes on that left side were absolutely gigantic on Sunday. And I just think the guy's a great run blocker. He's impossible to get around. So I understand the logic, but I would also say it's relative to the situation. You know, in other words, if it's 3rd and 1, line up behind Trent Brown and go over there and go get it, because he's going to get it for you. So, but in this case, look, Mike, I didn't realize they had called it 9 times.
9 times.
And that they had effectively set it up the same way.
Yeah, well, not on all of them, but on...
many of them.
Yeah, I can't remember the number. But on several of them, they set it up with the same sort of thing.
Yeah. And again, it's, you know, it's inexperience. It's not having enough to go to and enough acumen to know how the other team might react. So, and, you know, Bill can only do so much during the course of the game. Bill might anticipate it, but he's probably not dialed into every single specific play at every time, because he's trying to run a million things.
So on the quarterback thing, Callahan writes that unless the Patriots can run the ball as effectively against Detroit as they did Green Bay, there is little evidence that Bailey Zappe can do more than he did on Sunday. So Zappe's completions were fired to wide open receivers from cozy pockets with lots of time.
True.
Replicating that environment regularly is too much to ask for an offense that's likely to see a heavy blitz game from the Lions. So what Callahan is saying there, what you saw on Sunday from Bailey Zappe is pretty much what you're going to get. Well, that can't be the case, because I don't know. Can they beat the Lions 17-14? Like, is that what they think they're going to do?
I mean, that's what Bill probably thinks.
My guess is that's how they're going to try to beat them. I mean, what I would say this week, get ready for a lot of handoffs. A lot of them. And again, if Zappe has to throw 30 passes, I'm just picking that number.
Yeah.
Say 25 if you want. Okay, they'll lose. They'll lose. I don't know that they can win doing that yet with him. With Hoyer, I'd have more confidence in their ability to do that. At least Hoyer's done it in his career. So, and I might be wrong on Zappe. We'll see. But they better come up with some way to create some easy throws for him in this game. So, Mike, from that standpoint, as we talk it out and as I think it out, this is a week where you really need an offensive coordinator. You need someone to conjure up some easy throws for this kid. Because Detroit is going to play the run. They're going to blitz the crap out of him if you get into passing situations. And, you know, I wonder with him, too, how much of a screen game can you have, because he's so freaking short.
Huh.
No, I'm not kidding. Like, you have to kind of, you do have to dump the ball over people to throw a screen.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder about that.
Callen says, what Patricia can do is repeat Sunday's season-high 36% play action rate. Yeah, finally they went to the play action. I wonder if Mac Jones was watching that game saying, where's this been? And call more RPOs, as he did to start Zappi's second series. Both will make life easier on the rookie, assuming he's a starter in week 5. Overall, though, the play sheet will be short. It became more obvious as the game wore on that the staff didn't trust Zappi to do much besides hand the ball off to a well-designed run game, even though Zappi reportedly split practice reps with Brian Hoyer during the week. So training wheels still on Brian Zappi. So I just thought that was a good breakdown by Callahan, and I think Bedard echoed some of that thoughts. Offense headed in the right direction. It's hard for it to get any worse, you know, from where it came from. You know, when you're starting in the basement, it's hard to go any lower. So, but it is going in the right direction, but it still has a long way to go. And you still wonder that, you know, you can say they got out-coached by Green Bay when it mattered most. You know, the Green Bay defense was ready for what you had coming when it mattered the most. And that's not a good thing, because that Green Bay coaching staff is not good. And now here comes the Lions, which I would say the same thing about. But how much of a coaching advantage do you really have when it comes to Patricia and this thing? So there's that. We'll pick it up with your calls. Couple open lines if you want them. 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. The most popular afternoon radio show in Boston.
Back in your face, suck it!
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Marcus Jones, the rookie, to our right inside the 25. Pat O'Donnell fields the snap, puts the nose of the football down, punts it away from his 17. And the high kick sends Jones under it from the 30, runs right to the 40. Marcus across the 45, ooh, and he is tackled, thrown forward to midfield.
50.
The Patriots will have great starting field position. And a 24-all tie here in overtime.
Oh, man, you could just you feel, look at the sideline, look at the energy. Now, if you're Bill Belichick, you tell Matt Patricia, let's go here. Let's go. There's nothing more you can ask for. 8:16 in overtime left, 24-all, and you got the ball midfield, and all you need is three.
Damien Harris in the backfield, first and 10 from the Pats 49. Harris with a run up the middle, and he carries it forward into the pile, picked up 4+, a good rush to the 47 of Green Bay.
It's pretty bad that you can have a guy jump on a mic here overtime and say, don't let him blame him. It was pretty quiet there. This play should be amped up.
Zappi hands it off to Harris, runs it up the middle, shed a hit in the backfield, and got to the line of scrimmage before he's brought down with the tackle made there by the Packers. Make it a 3rd and 5.
Got to throw it.
The 4 in progress to the 46.
Yeah, sitting there last year in Tampa, Mac Jones at the end of that Tampa game, and sort of played it safe. Yeah, you got house money here. Let this kid throw it.
Stevenson moves that's up right in front of Zappi, and the Patriots call timeout.
I mean, it's a big play right here. This is, you know, the way this thing's been trending for 4 games. You sort of on the uptick here, you know, offensively, and the way you've responded since week 1. You get better. You're down bodies. You know, you came to fight here today. Your team has showed balls.
3 and a bunch left. Bourne starts in motion against man coverage. Zappi takes a shotgun snap. An extra rusher coming.
Okay.
He spins out. He rolls to his right. He throws downfield. Knocked down by a diving forward. Dangerous throw.
Bourne was wide open on the right sideline. Oh, man.
So the Patriots, Jake,
couldn't get anything on that throw.
Have to punt.
I mean, you couldn't ask for a better setup than that. Midfield, you held him on the first drive.
6:54 in overtime. One timeout.
It's coming out of the timeout, too.
There was that sequence in question that lost him the game in Green Bay. All right. Your thoughts on that, the quarterback situation going forward. We're talking football here. Following Greg Bedard's stint. Back to you, Rob in Waltham. What do you got, Rob?
Good afternoon, guys. So my question is, what is the, like, the locker room, how do they react to Bill Belichick going off, and instead of saying that we had Aaron Rodgers and we could have won the game, he goes off and just keeps going on and on about how great Aaron Rodgers is.
So why would that upset the players?
What do you mean, why? Because they had him. They had him. They could have beat Aaron Rodgers. It had nothing to do with what the players did, but it had everything to do with the call of the coaches. I don't get it.
Okay. Do you understand what he's getting at? Well, no, why would a player care that Bill is complimentary of Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, my guess is he thought, well, why is Bill lavishing on this praise on the other quarterback? I look at it the other way around. If Bill sits there and goes, well, you know, hey, guys, you just lost to one of the all-time greats.
I think that's protecting his guys.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't think that locker room gives it a second thought, what he said about him or any other player.
Like, no, me neither. In fact, again, it's the opposite. It's a way to say to your players.
Nothing you could do.
Right. If you're worried about their confidence, you guys did fine.
It lets him off.
He's just that good.
Exactly.
Right? He's just that good. Maybe that was part of his logic, too. Like, I wouldn't leave that out. Bill's been playing psychology with his team all year, trying to pump him up.
Here's Jerry in Rhode Island. Hi, Jerry.
How you doing, Mike? Maz. Hey, the NFL cannot let Hoyer start this week after what happened to Tua, number one. Two, Mac Jones needs some time to heal that ankle. If he goes out there and he gets tackled and twisted up again, where's the franchise quarterback then? And when it comes to the time clock, put that red border of lights around that clock. And when those lights go off, you don't have to hear a sound. Everybody in the stadium knows.
Yeah.
Bill's resting on his laurels.
Okay, Jerry, before you go down that road, now we get all the forcocked ideas about the play clock. It's pretty simple. Throw the flag if he snaps it at zero. Throw the flag.
Exactly.
Blow the whistle. Put a buzzer there if you can't look at two things at one time, but there's 12 effing refs there, and the play clock's big enough, and there's two guys behind the center, and don't tell me out of your peripheral vision. You can't tell me that you can't see zero and the ball snapped at the same time. You can, but if you need the three blind mice out there, just put a buzzer on it. We don't need a light show. You need a buzzer, and that's it. And if the snap is late, throw the flag.
You know the X they use on Family Feud? That's what they should do. It's hit. That's the buzzer. That's
now we're going to get all the forcocked ideas on the play. It's really very simple.
Yeah, they don't need a buzzer. They need flashing lights. What if you're not looking at the clock?
Ross and Woburn. Go ahead, Ross.
Hey, guys. People are really missing the point here. Bailey Zappe, he sucks, and it's nothing against him. He just sucks. It's just is what it is. They shouldn't have thrown on third down. They should have got the ball and said, listen, fellas, we're running it four straight times, and we're getting 10 yards. Figure it out. We're not putting the ball in Bailey Zappi's hands. The only reason I want the ball in his hands is so maybe he'd scramble and use his legs. Like, he's small, he can't throw, and he doesn't use his legs. Why did we draft this guy in the fourth round? I would have liked to see him take off or something. He looks like a little quick water bug back there or something. I think he crapped his pants, and putting the ball in his hands at the end of the game was not the decision.
Okay, Russ, thanks for the call. I've heard this rationale, too. And it's not a bad idea. Run on third down. And then if you don't pick it up, you're fourth and two.
Run again.
Fourth and one, fourth and three. Now you have your whole playbook. And then you have your got-to-have-it pass play, or you can even run it there. And I don't think that's horrible because that's kind of thinking ahead, or it's different. A run on third and five would have been a changeup from what you would expect.
Right, and Green Bay is looking pass there.
It's a passing down, and they probably were geared up for the pass. They blitzed. So just something there to break your trend. Or break just, I mean, boy, that was cookie cutter. Run, pass on third down. Look for Hunter Henry. You know, it's just like, boy, it was just really sort of paint by numbers, basic offensive approach there on that series.
Yeah, and again, it's also identifying what are the things we feel most comfortable with, which is exactly what the defense is doing. They're looking at you going,
he's going to run behind Brown.
Right, exactly. What are the things you feel most comfortable with? They're going to go 1, 2, and 3, look for these. Right? So it's that type of scenario. It's a good point. They just, look, they don't have enough, whether it's Patricia, the personnel, or both, there's not enough to draw from there.
Well, I mean, here's the point. They need to be special in one area to overcompensate for the other. In other words, they need a real dialed-in scheme and play caller to overcome their lack of talent, or they need some real playmakers out there to overcome their lack of experience in the coaching, and they've kind of 0-for-2 in that regard. Vic in Virginia. Go ahead, Vic.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's frustrating that Patricia has a Tecmo Bowl playbook with just four plays, and it's just so predictable. And I'm upset we didn't go for it. I mean, Bill knows the common rules. You don't give the ball back to Rodgers, Mahomes, Manning. And to give the ball back to him, I thought we should have gone for it. We had nothing to lose at that point.
Yeah, and Bill doesn't really treat it that way. You know, that he really has nothing to lose. You know, even going back to last year, has been pointed out. You're in a one-possession game with Brady, at a game no one thought you were going to win. Go for it. What do you have to lose? House money. You're going toe-to-toe with the Cowboys. Big favorite. Big game. You got nothing to lose. Why don't you go for it? And you're about to beat Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. If you just drop your balls there a little bit, go for it. What do you have to lose? You've already shown well. Now go for the win. I feel like Bill's just sort of lost that little thing there that he have with Tom Brady.
Because, again, it's easy to do when Brady's in your back pocket. I mean, you know, not to, like, get too graphic about it, but when Brady's your quarterback, you tend to have a big schmenzer.
David Attleboro, well said, Mass. Hi, Dave, what do you got?
Hey, listen, I know how tight you guys are with the brass down there in Foxborough. So I've got a suggestion that maybe you can pass on to them. How about a screen pass, boys?
Okay, so now we're going to get play calls and suggestions on the play clock.
Yeah, so look, again, screen pass is a logical thing, right? If you're running the ball all the time, teams start coming at you, and then, you know, you get into a passing situation, fine. I told you, I worry about it with Zappy just because of his height. Like, I don't know, you tell me, is that something to worry about on a screen?
It feels like
I should be worried about that.
No matter what kind of screen it is, if it's to a running back, and usually looping it over blitzing defensive linemen. If it's a wide receiver screen, you saw it last night, Garoppolo almost got picked on one. The littler guys, you got to throw around someone because screens, you're letting guys free.
I mean, so I don't like, I think with Zappy there, you limit it. And Mike, just quickly, because we touched on this yesterday. At the end of the first half, okay, 5 minutes to go in the first half, the Patriots had a 4th-and-1 at the Green Bay 46.
Punted.
Bill punted. Okay, the Packers got the ball. The Patriots stopped them. They got it back, and they went deep into Green Bay territory, and then Zappy fumbled. Remember that?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, and even then, they still scored because of the Jack Jones pick.
Right.
So Bill in his head could argue, well, we got field position there. We got a Green Bay pin back. Then Rodgers threw it up. We picked it, and we ended up scoring. In his mind, that's probably all related to them punting on 4th down. Like, we pinned him back there, and then we had the whole game in that end of the field. So my guess is, and again, like, I didn't have a problem with them punting on 4th down at the end of in overtime. Because it was sort of like, it worked for me earlier, I'll take my chances. My offense isn't good enough to win this game for me. I got to win it with my defense. So, you know, I don't have a problem with that, with the punt. I don't. But the run on 2nd down, and then...
The whole series was rote. It was just rote.
It was very, very conservative. Right. Very conservative.
Coming up next, a breakdown of the Patriots quarterback situation. One of the better breakdowns of the Patriots quarterback situation that I have heard. It comes from a different kind of source. So you'll hear this coming up next after Big Jim Murray gets you updated.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. The most popular afternoon radio show in Boston.
Some sort of quid pro quo there.
Felger.
Excuse me.
And Mass.
Excuse me.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, Jim, it's Dan calling. I tried to call. I wanted to weigh in on quarterback. And as a fan, I would want to see this kid play the next game. I've got the fever for this kid, and I don't have the fever for Hoyer, who's in the red zone, and Max Jones is just a whiny little bitch. Anyway, that's my 2 cents. I love you. Talk to you later. Bye.
As I said, as good of a breakdown as you'll hear on the Patriots quarterback situation anywhere. That happens to come from Big Jim Murray Sr. How come I forgot your dad's name?
Richard.
Rich.
Yeah.
So like his your dad.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm always aware of when he's calling because his health's not great right now. So I thought something might end up. I saw I had this longer voicemail from when I got in the car when the show ended last night. I'm like, oh boy, what's this going to be? And then it turns out he has strong feelings about the Patriots quarterback situation, and he's got zappy fever. After I heard that,
I got the fever.
I was like, I think we're gonna have to bring this to the show. This is
it's a condition, Murray. Yeah, it's a condition. It's like, you know, zappy fever is. It's what it is. It's like cabin fever.
So he wants zappy against the Lions on Sunday.
Needless let's hear it again for Pete's sake. Now we know this is Murray's dad. Go ahead. Let's hear it again. This is voice.
Hey, Jim, it's dad calling. I tried to call. I wanted to weigh in on quarterback. And as a fan, I would want to see this kid play the next game. I've got the fever for this kid. And I don't have the fever for Hoyer, who's the best in the red zone. And Max Jones is just a whiny little bitch. Anyway, that's my 2 cents. I love you. Talk to you later. Bye.
Yeah. Mac Jones is a whiny little bitch.
Richard.
Love you. Talk to you later.
6 months up.
Jones is just a whiny little bitch.
I told him I'll give you the hotline number.
617-779-0985,
Mr. And Murray. I don't have the fever for Hoyer. The bed in the red zone.
True.
It's better when you can't beep it because, you know.
Totally.
Jones is just a whiny little bitch.
Very well said, sir.
Yeah, and that voicemail, it really does bring a lot into, sharpens the focus on a lot of things, doesn't it? I mean, Apple does not fall far that from the true. Tree, Murray.
Is that what you want too, son?
And I don't have the fever for Hoyer. In the red zone.
Yeah, I think it'd be far more interesting. Like, I think it's clear Jones isn't going to play, right? I mean, they bring in this Gilbert Gottfried to the practice squad because they have an issue here. They need this Gilbert as an emergency quarterback. So Mac's not going to play. I'm out on Hoyer, and Hoyer's not even going to be available anyway with the concussion thing going on in the NFL post Tua. So, no, it's time for Zappy. It's time for Zappy fever.
You know what? The whole Hoyer thing, I meant to bring this up when, you know, do you think there's any chance the league has reached out to teams and said, if you lose a quarterback in a game because of a concussion, you should plan on him not playing the next week.
Yeah, something like that, Maz. I mean, there's obviously there's been a heightened reaction to the Tua thing. So
yeah.
Whether it's formal or informal or whatever, you know, if you think they're overreacting or just finally reacting properly, whatever, there is a reaction. There's a reaction to what happened to Tua, of course.
But yeah. I could see that, yeah. Them reaching out to all 32 teams.
Yeah, and that's what
question.
I mean.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean.
In retrospect, I'm sorry to cut you off. They should have did that to Miami from Sunday to that Thursday game. Hey, it's in everyone's best interest, including your player, obviously. Start Bridgewater on Thursday. You can't play him after what happened on Sunday.
Yeah, and I'm not saying even a memo. Like, I'm not sure they'd put that in writing.
No.
Like, but they just let it be known to teams. Hey, look, if this happens, plan on being without that guy the next week. Okay, we got to tighten this thing up. Like, I wonder if some, and again, because I do think it relates to Hoyer. I do think it relates to him coming out of that game and then not being available. Because in the past, that's been a lot looser. Guys have come back and played.
So, Maz, I think you raised this last week about, you know, what if Hoyer really does well and can Bill use that to get Mac Jones's attention, whose attitude has not been great this year, and he's backslid in terms of his buy-in and, you know, all that, the whole Mac Jones thing, that's been a little bit of an issue there between him and the team and the direction of the team and all of this. Could they use Brian Hoyer to get Mac Jones's attention if they win some games with Brian Hoyer? And the answer is obviously yes. Don't they even make more of a point if they win some games with the rookie?
Even more effective.
That they just drafted?
More so.
I mean,
he's younger. Right? Because in a lot of ways, Jones can look at Hoyer and say he's not a threat.
Yeah.
This guy's no threat to me. He's had a million chances to become a quarterback in this league. He hasn't. They just have him here as a safety net. I'm the guy, and if I go down, he plays, but then it's my job again. But with Zappy, it's the opposite. He's younger. He's cheaper. So now if you don't get your ass in gear, now it's like, hey, we have another option here. So if you're asking me, would Bill love that? Bill would love it.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah, and
there's nothing he likes more than leverage.
He's not a first rounder. It's their selection. They can act like we made you, and he has been yes sir, no sir, in the little bit that we got to see him with Green Bay, whereas Mac Jones is going out there with the histrionics and doesn't like the play callers and has been upset since the preseason. Of course they would prefer it with Zappy.
Definitely.
You know,
definitely.
And remember, Lombardi said last week, if Jones keeps playing like this, his job could be in jeopardy.
Right.
He said that in so many words. Well, I mean, maybe you if Bailey Zappe, the kid they just drafted, is part of that story, it's a little bit more of a powerful message to Mac Jones.
Oh, they can hold Zappe over Jones's head. They totally can't do it with Hoyer. With Hoyer, they can give him an attitude adjustment.
Yeah.
You know, get your ass in gear, have some better practices, and then we'll put you back in. With this kid, it's like, if you don't get your ass in gear, he might stay there.
Okay, your thoughts on the commentary of the Murrays at 617.
The fever of this kid.
779-0985 to you. Long commercial-free segment is next.
And I don't have the fever for Hoyer. In the red zone.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Tom. When you think about
hot as balls,
Felger.
I was hoping for someone with a little more bite.
Man down. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
If you're Aaron Rodgers, I understand why he didn't come out of that game feeling so good. You're playing against Bailey Zappe at home, and you needed every second of overtime to win. But was it my imagination, or did I think the Patriots actually looked better with Bailey Zappe as their quarterback? Am I crazy? Like, I'm not trying to create a quarterback controversy, but Mac Jones, I don't know. He's proven some things, but like Bailey Zappe, look, because I do the draft, I know who Bailey Zappe is. I know he put up enormous numbers coming out of college. He's an athletic kid. He's got a big arm. Like, am I wrong, or do they look better with Bailey Zappe?
They definitely looked better, but are you going to say here that Robert Kraft might come out and say a few positive things about Zappe and maybe create that quarterback issue?
I just don't know what's going to happen, but I do know that right now the most interesting thing about the New England Patriots are the two words Bailey Zappe.
Mike Greenberg and Murray's dad, same sentiments. But that was Mike Greenberg on his radio show with his second there.
I think it's Hembo.
So, Robert Kraft's going to come out and say he wants a quarterback? It's an allusion to Jerry Jones saying he wants Cooper Rush to win games, so there'll be a quarterback. He wants a quarterback controversy, which is Jerry Jones just wanting, you know, buzz for his team. It's not like he's got to send a message to Dak Prescott. Here's different. I think Bill would want it to wake up Mac Jones, get him with the program, whatever. Give Mac Jones, nothing will give a player an attitude adjustment like the possibility of losing playing time or losing his gig.
Definitely.
And so I think
Robert want it?
I think Bill would love it. Sure. Yeah. I think Hembo there was just making a joke about Jerry Jones doing
sure.
the thing.
But to your point,
I think Kraft's out of it.
Look what happened in 2014 with Brady when they drafted Garoppolo. That lit a fire under his ass. I mean, it turned him into the player he's been since.
I mean, it usually works. I mean, they drafted Jordan Love in Green Bay and he's won two straight MVPs. He still can't win, but he's, you know, his first year with what's-his-face there wasn't good, and then they draft Jordan Love, and the next thing you know, poof, he's winning MVPs in Green Bay. And so it generally does work. No matter how good you are, the threat of losing your job generally motivates you, and Mac Jones isn't even that good. So I think Bill Belichick would relish it, and never mind winning games with Zappe or whatever, but just the message it would send to Jones, I think they would love. All right, back to your calls. Ben and Sharon, what do you got, Ben?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Just with the way the offense played in the first few weeks of the season, even when Mac was healthy, I can't help but think that this team is starting to head towards what the Giants have looked like the past few years, where they're stuck playing out the rookie contract of a mediocre quarterback with poor coaching. So I guess my question to you guys is, if Mac continues to play poorly this season, do you see him sticking around for the last 2 years, or do you think there's big moves in store for the Pats at quarterback?
Wow, Ben. Wouldn't the Patriots be just the team to say we're going to stay the course and figure this thing out. Like, they wouldn't act rashly. So, I don't know. I guess your question is I can see them being the Giants. Yes, I can see them being the Giants with Daniel Jones, except they have Mac Jones. Yep, I can see that.
Yeah, I think that they would stay the course unless they had a reason not to. Like, you know, they would need another option, right? So, the point is, you know, like if someone popped up on the free agent market, and even that's not going to happen. But you know what I mean? If something, let's use Zappe again. If Zappe were to somehow show.
So, that to me doesn't count for what the caller's talking about.
Okay.
Like, if Bailey Zappe emerges and is Drew Brees out there and he's just out of nowhere, this guy, then, oh, yeah, they would definitely play Zappe. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think they would go out seeking a quarterback.
Yeah, you know, what I'm talking about is
finding a replacement.
2 years in, this ain't the guy we're going back into the draft, which the Giants could have done with Daniel Jones and didn't. And I think the Pats would do the same thing. I think they would go year three, go year four with Mac Jones and not jump the gun on that.
Yeah, maybe try to get him a real coordinator first.
You know, I don't know. Like, that to me feels pretty reasonable. Barbara's in Beverly. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hi, Babs.
Hi. Listen, I agree. Was that Murray? Was that really your father?
Yeah.
Because I agree with him about that. Sorry, bitch. But he is. I mean, I've had a million injuries, and I don't cry like that. What is that? At any rate, Bailey Zappe, isn't he like 5'8"? I mean, he looks very... See, I'm 5'11", and I used to model, so we used to have measured every day.
Barbara.
So I don't understand why these short quarterbacks are all over the place. They can't last. They have to run too much.
Barbara, are you single?
No.
Oh, okay. Too bad, because I was just, you know, Mr. Murray, Babs, you know?
Well, yeah, like, that would work.
That's, you guys think like on the quarterbacks. Thanks for the call, Barbara, as always.
5'11"?
5'11".
Formal model. Little bitch.
Thank you,
he's 6'1". But I don't know if I buy that. I'm talking about Bailey Zappe.
Oh, he's not 6'1". No way. No
Please.
Way.
If he's 6'1", I'm 6 feet. Like, that's a load of crap. That guy's not much bigger than me. He's a little squirt back there. Seriously, take a good look at him. It's like he's 6 foot nothing tops.
I want to see this kid play the next game. I've got the fever for this kid.
Wayne in Yarmouth. Go ahead, Wayne.
God, he's hard to follow. Overmanaging Zappe, you guys have been all over this, is one of the crimes in the Pats' play-calling fiascos. But there's a dilemma here. I mean, look at the history of the Packers and how weak they are against the run. So why wouldn't you, in your in-game planning, in that overtime, throw the run in four straight times and get it on downfield and kick a field goal? Don't try to pass if you don't have any confidence in Zappe. Run four times.
Well,
doesn't it make more sense?
At least three, and then get into fourth and one or two and see where you're at. I don't think that's a horrible call because, again, at least it's throwing some sort of misdirection at the defense. They're not expecting a run on third and five. But what they did was pretty much exactly what Green Bay was expecting or what they had been doing all game. And the first run got them a decent gain, you know, 4 or 5 yards. But it was, you know, run to the right into the strength of that formation with Marcus Cannon over there. And Jordan Humphrey was over there. And then the next one is a weak side zone run behind Trent Brown, which they've been doing all game. And Green Bay was finally ready for it. And then throw on third down. And it was all very predictable. So three runs would have been less predictable for sure.
Can Zappe run?
He might. You know, I'm just going to say yes, having no idea. A little kid that played in a spread at Western Kentucky, if he can't run, like he's some sort of stationary pocket passer at 5'11", don't tell me that. So Barbara and Beverly's bigger than he is.
I'll tell you what, I'm looking up. I just punched him up as I was asking you the question. Last year, 51 attempts, 17 yards.
Wow, that's it? He doesn't run?
That's why Bill likes him.
So he's a little guy that stays in the pocket? That's useless.
Apparently. 51 carries, 17 yards.
That smells. Nothing. He doesn't run?
6'1", 220.
He's not 6'1".
Okay, no, I'm going by that. I'm just reading the bio.
But yeah, he doesn't run.
Okay, so he's 5'11", 200 pounds, and he doesn't run.
Little fire hydrant that just sits there.
Was Bill planning to play flag football this year or what?
What's that?
Like, well, what's the story there?
Remember, there used to be the 6'4 and under NBA basketball league? What are you doing?
Oh, yeah, the D League.
No, the little guy who's just going to sit in the pocket.
CBA.
Like the catcher for the Blue Jays.
Oh, Alejandro Kirk?
Yeah, yeah.
That little squat? Yeah. Seriously.
Run around a little bit.
I can't believe they... Why does Bill love to draft these guys who have no size or speed?
Clement, it reminds him of himself. Clement Chelmsford. Yes, Clem.
All right, so there's been some talk since Sunday about the Patriots' good game plan, but isn't the bullet point number one in a good game plan to achieve victory?
Yes.
I mean, not like moral victory, but actual victory?
Right.
I mean, is this a sign of the times of Foxborough? You know, with Patricia going on about how every day is exciting and new, like it's a love boat, and Belichick mumbling on about a play here, a play there, like it's an episode of Choose Your Own Adventure. I got to ask yourself, if you're not built to win a shootout, and you're not going to win the close ones, what games are you planning on winning?
None of them. The teams against the teams that really, really smell and really, really puke on themselves. That's it. But what was I going to say? I had something for somebody was going to mention there. I can't remember. Oh, about this, the masterful game plan. Like, I think the team was well prepared. Like, that I will definitely give Bill credit for. That Zappe was ready and they were ready to put him in there, and it wasn't the complete fire drill that most teams would have, because there's a level of preparation there and, you know, good work during the week that has guys ready to go. Like, that's real. And I do still think Bill coached his buns off in that game. He was on his knee with the quarterback. He was up on his feet calling timeouts against Aaron Rodgers. He was doing it all. He was all over the place and highly invested. And like, as much as a head coach can hustle, like, he was hustling all over the place. So those two things, definitely I will give Bill Belichick. But in terms of like some sort of masterful game plan to win the game, it wasn't.
No.
It wasn't. They managed their young and experienced quarterback very well because they put the chastity belt on him, as most coaches would do, especially if you have a good running game. So if you have a good running game and you have a rookie third-string quarterback, what coach is going to air it out and, like, put the kid out there to make all sorts of mistakes? I don't care how much you suck as a coach. If you've got a rookie fourth-round quarterback and a good running game, you're handing the ball off. So, like, why are we separating our shoulder, patting Matt Patricia and Bill Belichick on the back for running the ball with Bailey Zappe?
Excellent question. We need to ask it of Chris Gasper on Friday, because Rex Ryan got the Jets to an AFC title game with Mark Sanchez doing that.
By handing the ball off and managing your crappy young quarterback. Like, what? I don't understand that. And then when it came time to win the game and actually dial up some plays to win, they didn't have them. So, like, the in-game to win the game piece to the whole coaching part, I'm out. They didn't do it. But they were prepared and they were bought in, and Bill really, I thought, did everything he could you know, to contribute to that game. But the masterful game plan thing I do is overrated. I think a big boy, Greg Bedard, agrees. We'll reset some of his takes, some of your thoughts as well after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.